This is going to be a very different presentation. This is, my co-panelists and I were talking about how this is an interesting assortment of presentations. I think a very informative assortment, but an interesting one nonetheless. So good morning. This morning, my colleague Bridget Catlin, who is sitting in the third row, and I are here to discuss ways that the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute are building an enhanced focus on equity into the County Health Rankings and Roadmaps program. And since we are a pretty small group, I'm just curious if folks, you know, how many people in the room are familiar with County Health Rankings and Roadmaps? Okay, all right, so we've got a mix. So that's helpful for just tailoring my remarks. I'm Andrea Dukas. I'm a program officer with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And I've had the really and truly distinct pleasure of being able to work with Bridget and others on this program over the past year and a half. So first, I really want to acknowledge that the important relationship that we have between RWJ and University of Wisconsin. The County Health Rankings and Roadmaps program is pretty unique, I would say, to our institution in that we really approach it as a true and real collaboration between the foundation and the institute. And the program is a result of many people working together, including several of the folks who are listed here. So I'd like to begin with a little bit of context setting, especially since we've got some folks in the room who are less familiar with the program. As many of you, I think, are probably aware, considering my colleague Alonzo has now delivered a couple of different presentations on this, about a year and a half ago, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation announced its new vision for a culture of health. And what that means to us is we're working to build a future such that everyone, no matter where they live and grow up, has the best opportunity to live their healthiest life possible. And, you know, as we just saw, when you live or grow up in a neighborhood of concentrated disadvantage, that's very, very difficult. When we announced our new vision, it was the boldest, I would say, reimagining that we've ever undertaken in our 43-year history. We kind of blew up our internal organization. Everything we do now is much more intentionally connected across programs and across content areas. And equity is really been placed front and center in everything that we're doing. Because when we say we're building a culture of health for everyone, we really mean everyone. We don't mean many, we don't mean most. We know that it's not easy, but it's something we're being very intentional about. And that's becoming more and more, I think, reflected in our programming. Through County Health Rankings and Roadmaps, which really is kind of designed to point out opportunities for health improvement, we're really kind of embodying that, bringing equity front and center and intentionally weaving that into different elements of the program that I'll walk you through today. This is just a slide to kind of emphasize how we're rooting kind of what we're imagining health equity really means. And, you know, Healthy People 2020 calls for equity as valuing everyone equally, addressing avoidable inequalities, and importantly, not reducing but eliminating health and healthcare disparities, which really requires a shared commitment to identifying and moving beyond just kind of providing information about opportunities for health in a community, but providing information on really how to address gaps that disproportionately negatively affect certain populations or certain targeted geographic areas. So, County Health Rankings and Roadmaps. County Health Rankings and Roadmaps, for those of you who are less familiar with it, is a program that brings actionable data to and strategies to communities to make it easier for people to live healthier in their workplaces, their neighborhoods, their homes, their schools. And the rankings, as the name implies, rank really nearly every county in the United States each year on the length and quality of life that is afforded to their residents, and also ranks counties on various mutable health determinants related to health behaviors, clinical care, social and economic factors, and the physical environment. And for more detail, and if you're interested in understanding where your county ranks or how it stacks up in your particular state, we'd invite you to visit countyhealthrankings.org. Roadmaps to Health, so this is the County Health Rankings and Roadmaps, the Roadmaps component of the program, is the action-oriented part of the program. And while the rankings provide really a checkup of opportunities for health within a county and help you understand kind of what the opportunities for health are, the roadmaps provide various community stakeholders with information they need and the tools they need to really take action. We very intentionally customize this information by different stakeholder groups. Here you'll see healthcare, public health, business, educators, because we know every stakeholder in a community has a role to play in improving health. And, you know, to make it as easy as possible, we try to tailor various programs, policies, and materials such that they're immediately relevant to different stakeholders. We also have, if you're interested in learning more or seeing more, a curated inventory of policies and programs that are evidence-informed, that have some evidence, and we provide a scale of how evidence-based they are in improving health in our What Works for Health database. So while the rankings, again, do serve as a starting point for change, and by design, as I mentioned before, enable stakeholders to see where there are opportunities for improvement, over the past year, we've really made a number of enhancements to bring the program to help bring a more intentional focus on equity. And I'm going to be walking through six of them very briefly. So the first is that we're really making changes in the way that we communicate about the rankings, especially visually. In our National Key Findings Report, so each year when we release our rankings for the national counties, we also put together an aggregated National Key Findings Report, and we put together heat maps that show, you know, very, very quickly how opportunities for health vary nationally. And we used to have state maps similar to these that did that, but really broke out performance in four equal quartiles within states. It didn't really kind of give you a sense of how opportunities varied or variance from the mean or the state average. It really kind of just broke that up into four equal quartiles. So in both in our national maps for our key findings report and also in our state maps, when you click on any factor, we've adjusted the visual approach to showing an actual heat map. So now, very, very quickly, you get a sense of just how far in this particular state opportunities for health vary from the mean. So in counties that are shaded white, opportunities for health are a bit better. In the darker counties, in the darker shaded counties, they're a little bit worse. But very succinctly, we make the point that opportunities for health are not equally distributed in a state. In addition to changing some of the visual elements of county health rankings, we've also made some changes to the data. And most notably, this year we added a measure of income inequality to our model. And that measure is the first one, I believe, that we've integrated that shows intra-county variance. So even in a particularly wealthy county, a county actually stands a pretty high chance of doing poorly on this measure, because if opportunities for health are not equally distributed, if income is not equally distributed in a community, that number's going to go up. So the income inequality measure, just to give you some more background, compares household income at the 80th percentile with that at the 20th percentile. So, you know, if the 80th percentile of household income in a particular county is 100,000, the 20th is 20,000, the income inequality ratio would be 5-1, meaning that on average, higher income households have five times the wealth, or not the wealth, but five times the income of lower income households. And taken together with the number of children in poverty, the income inequality measure helps give us a much better understanding of how opportunities for health, again, vary within a particular county. We also recognize, just as, again, in the earlier presentation demonstrated, there are pockets of concentrated disadvantage that exist at the neighborhood level, at the zip code level, at the level of a particular city block, that county health rankings our county health rankings data doesn't really speak to. And a lot of the folks who contact the program are very interested in understanding how they can dig deeper within their local data, within their neighborhood data. We provide a number of we provide a lot of assistance around that. But this year we've also put together a guide to help make that process easier. We also offer folks the opportunity when you go onto the website and play around with the model and the data to dig deeper. We provide links to various databases that can allow you to get both beneath and sometimes above the county level to help surface some of those opportunities for improvement. And that's where you can click. And this year, so those were some changes with respect to how we're visually communicating about data, changes that we're actually making to the data, and ways that we're helping people connect to more attenuated specific data sources. But this year, we're also very excited to be releasing our very first set of reports aimed at a state audience that actually help make the case that opportunities for health aren't equally distributed in a much more direct way. So on November 10th, and this really and truly is exciting, nobody knows this but you guys and a couple of other folks. But on November 10th, we're going to be providing states with a sense of how wide the opportunities for health are between their counties to help kind of showcase what might warrant state attention. So for example, in some states, if everyone lived in counties that look like those that are top performing in their state, you could quite literally expect to see hundreds of thousands of fewer avoidable deaths every year. And we think that being able to pull out those kinds of data points is going to make the equity case in a much more remarkable way. And we hope that it's going to prompt more thoughtful discussions about how resources are distributed, how policies are targeted geographically, and we are really, really, really jazzed to be releasing these. They've been a long time coming. So I just walked you through a number of changes that we are making to our rankings part of the County Health Rankings and Roadmaps program, but we've also made a number of changes to the way that we're helping communities take action. So first, we are we're specifically calling out the potential impact of a policy or program on health disparities in our evidence-informed what works for health database. So you can see here, not only do we pull out expected beneficial outcomes, evidence of effectiveness, but importantly, impact on disparities, because we want to make sure that communities understand that what they're doing has the opportunity to actually improve health for everyone. Or, you know, in the case of a negative impact on disparities, we want to be able to call that out too. You'll also find a number of equity tools in the Action Center, including an action toolkit on advancing health equity, and another one that came out of our Multnomah County Health Department in Portland, Oregon, is a publication called the Equity and Empowerment Lens that you might find interesting. And as some of you may know, we've had 2 to 3 coaches working in the Madison office since the Roadmaps program began in 2011. And earlier this year, in January, we added 7 more coaches around the nation, including 2 who are working with some of our neediest communities in the South, and also another working with Appalachian communities to really help them and their various stakeholders move towards their own community health improvement journeys. That was also a very, very intentional process where, you know, we looked at the places we were reaching and those we weren't, and made a really deliberate choice about where we hired folks in the areas that they would focus on. And our coaches work with communities who are trying to create health for all that are focusing on what we call the 5 Ds. So one is investigating the differences, so digging deeper in other data sources to understand the differences between subgroups. We ask them to focus on the drivers that most influence health, so the policies, systems, and conditions that create opportunities for health to improve health for all. We ask them to dig into the root causes. So while all the health factors that, you know, we discussed before affect health outcomes, It's really, really important, and we find that most often it's the social and economic conditions that are playing the biggest role in driving opportunities or the lack of opportunities for health. We also ask them to work with communities to determine the most effective strategies, especially those that, if targeted, can help reduce health disparities. And then, of course, they work with communities to do it, to make the change. So that was a whirlwind. I know that was definitely a whirlwind. There was a lot of information there. And I'm happy to take any questions, though Bridget might actually field a number of them for me. But thank you very much. And I'm around for a little bit more of the day and happy to chat with you outside of this room, too.
Can you possibly go back to where you have the picture of the chart of the impacts? You were looking at various impacts of
this.
No, wait. Yes. That one. So in terms of social economic factors, one thing I'm wondering about are you only focused on income differences in what you're plotting, or are you looking at other forms of inequity? For example, are there built environment analyses that are being done? Is trade being considered? Are you getting out of the kind of the local level and looking at other factors, such as international factors, that may be impacting on the local levels? Because sometimes when we get this tunnel vision at a local level, we ignore what really are the base factors that may be impacting. So I'm just wondering if that's heard of it, or you're looking into that in the future, or that's the...
Our primary targeted audience for our work is at the local level, mm-hmm. but within the tools that we provide, we definitely take into account state and national influences, mm-hmm. probably not necessarily international policies and strategies, mm-hmm. but we realize that every community operates in a border environment,
right.
So
right.
We're always at an interesting point with county data. When we first started doing this, we brought county-level data to communities who have never had data at that level. They'd only ever seen state-level statistics before. So particularly in the less populated areas, we found that. But now, since we've been doing this for 7 years, now we're getting more questions to get us to drill down even more, which is what Andrea was getting to, but the digging deeper.
We
try to provide whatever help we can to each community, depending on the context.
Right. And that would go beyond just looking at income inequality, correct?
Well, the income inequality is actually the first time that we introduced an indicator that was taking into consideration differences within the county.
Right.
We may do more of that in the future, but this is about helping each community.
Yeah. And I guess I'll add a little bit to that to say, very intentionally, the measures that we use, we want to be modifiable at the county level. We're not really just interested in providing information that stakeholders in their communities don't feel like they can actually use or make an impact on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look back at the model, so while income inequality is one measure related to social and economic factors, the program actually has a number of primary measures. We report annually on 30 measures, but then there are additional summary measures.
Okay.
So within social and economic factors, we report on measures related to education, employment, income, family social support, community safety.
You're looking at that as well.
Yes.
You just reported on, you were emphasizing.
I was emphasizing one new measure that we added.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
What you're seeing in this model is very high level. When we talk terms of the number of mentally unhealthy days that we're seeing in communities. And then in terms of strategies and ways to address that, which is about all of the blue boxes, under clinical care, under access to care, we specifically have a measure on mental health providers because access to mental health care is so important. And then under family and social support, we are trying continually to find better measures that reflect things that really influence mental health. And if you know of good measures that you can get at the county level, which is our level, we're always interested in doing that.
I don't have too much more to add except to say that is an issue that's very, very important and to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. It's something that we're also tracking. If you are interested in chatting with any of the folks at our booth, it's something that we're also tracking nationally. Some of the indicators that Bridget mentioned, like access to mental health providers, very, very important to us. And yeah, I mean, the reason that we pull out not only length but quality of life and quality measured very holistically is to get at that notion that if you're not experiencing well-being or any sort of balance, it doesn't much make sense to just look at how long people are living.